You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. I'd like to start today in a slightly different way by acknowledging country. Gadlugana Mayana Tampanti, Paniata Matanya Puki Unanku, Gadlutampanti Gana Miyuna Purapurana, Pankadawamagana, Gana Kuntigata. That translates to we acknowledge the Garna people. They are the landowners from a long time ago. We recognize the Garna people are still alive, and this territory is theirs exclusively. It leaves me only to remind you that we have a number of places that you can follow us on: Apple, iTunes, our podcasts. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. You can check out our website, which has archived quite a lot of audiovisual material. If you're ever feeling like you need some Unitarian, fix, we'll start. So we light this chalice to call to mind and celebrate the rich diversity of humanity. As we search for justice, meaning, and purpose, may we remember that justice, meaning, and purpose live first in accepting one another. Well, good morning and welcome to this service of worship. We call them services because they're meant to serve you. We call them worship from the Old English worth-ship, because in these we raise things to worth. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church, and I welcome you on behalf of generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in similar gatherings since 1854. Now, we are fortunate in South Australia. We are an old and venerable institution of South Australia. We're fortunate in this state to be able to have church services like this one. And it is important we reply with the COVID-safe conditions. I would like to remind you, if you haven't, to sign in today. As a record of attendance is a mandatory feature of our COVID-19 agreements with the government. Now, members of the church don't need to leave your contact details, but if you're a non-member, you'll need to leave your contact details so we can comply with regulations. So that's the context of social responsibility, but I'd also remind you of the highly individualistic theology of this place. While we have a good collective sense of social responsibility and connectedness, we are also a spiritual community that is highly individualized. We encourage all who come to find and fashion and follow their own individual spiritual path, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all people. Thanks, Brendan. This is a very old story. It comes from Burma. There's not a text to it. It's just a very old oral tradition story. And you may be surprised to know that there are 1,062 different kinds of birds in Burma, at last count. I don't quite know what's happening. This will give you some idea of the variety of them. 1,062 different kinds of birds in Burma. Now, the problem, according to this old story, long ago, was that none of the birds of a certain type were friends with other birds of a certain type. So, like, the pheasants just hung around with the pheasants, and the crows just hung around with the crows, and the peacocks just hung around with the peacocks, and the doves with the doves, and so on. And so they didn't mix. They stayed in their little tribal groups. And because they stayed in their tribal groups, their criticism between groups was pretty widespread. So a group might say to another group, "You guys, you flap your wings too fast. You're just showing off." And another group would say to another group, like the pheasants would say to the robins, "That red breast of yours, Wrong color, Chief. It's the wrong color for them. Or the robins might say to the starlings, with that technique, you're never going to catch worms. And so on and so forth. So the criticism was pretty widespread. But one day, a pheasant and a crow met in going opposite directions on a road. And the pheasant, by this point, had grown up with this, and the pheasant was really tired of all this fighting. Really tired of all this fighting. And he thought, you know, I'm just gonna try something different. And he saw the crow coming down the path, and he said to the crow, "Crow, you are a much better bird than me." And the crow was like, "What's going on here? What's the pheasant's angle? You know, why is he saying that?" And the crow, not to be outdone, the crow said to the pheasant, "No, pheasant, you are a much better bird than me." And they stood there looking at each other. Like, what do we do now? They found, standing there, no, you're a much better bird than I am. No, you're a much better bird than I am. They found that actually this felt kind of good. They felt better than constantly being at each other. And they started talking, and they gradually realized they had much more in common than they had different. So they decided to move in next to each other and become neighbors. And they lived very happily next to each other. But the rest of the bird community looked at this friendship between the pheasant and the crow, and it was like, oh, no, we can't be having that. We can't be having pheasants and crows fraternizing. We're a little suspicious that you're acting differently from the rest of us. So they decided to test their friendship. So one day a starling went to the pheasant and said, "Why do you hang around with that black crow? How can you stand the lack of color? It's so dark. It's such a nasty looking beak." And the crow said, "Excuse me. The pheasant does me great honor by being my friend." Similarly, birds went to the crow and said, "How can you hang around with that gaudy pheasant with its head so high up in the air and its party-colored feathers? I mean, it's ridiculous." And the crow said, no, the pheasant does me great honor by being my friend." So they remained loyal to each other, and the other birds realized they couldn't break them up, that their loyalty couldn't be defeated. So they began to question, well, why do we only hang around with our own? And they were inspired to change. They tried talking to each other, and they found that life was easier than fighting. Now the birds of Burma, 1,062 of them, are friendly and respectful to each other and find each other beautiful despite their differences. And that's the wisdom story for today. So if you guys would like to thunder through to Sunday Club, you are more than welcome. And we'll see you briefly, I guess, after. It is our tradition to share recent events on our spiritual journeys in an open forum of fellowship. This is an act of trust that helps us bind our fellowship more closely together and makes this space sacred. If you have had a recent event that's been significant on your spiritual journey, like these, you can share it with us by coming up, lighting one of these votive candles, and telling us as briefly as possible about it. And you'll need to speak up because the mic is off limits. It's not COVID safe to use this mic, and I'm not going to give you another mic, so you'll need to stand here and speak clearly, okay? Sorry about that, but that's COVID rules. Now, some things do lie too deep for words, so if you don't feel like speaking out, you're still welcome to light a candle in silence. And whether you choose to share or not, you can take part in expanding this prayerful circle of compassion by listening with an open heart and mind and refraining from commenting on anybody's share. So I'll light a candle. I know this looks like a failed birthday cake, but I'm trying to keep the candle separate so we don't all be fumbling our hands in the candles. And we just jam it down into the sand, and it'll be fine. As soon as I light one, I'll open the worship space for this sacred act.
Song that will linger forever in our ears. come again no more, is the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times, come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times, come again no more. Though we seek mirth and beauty, music, light and gay, there are frail forms fainting by the door. Though their voices are silent, their pleading looks will say, oh, hard times, come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times, come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times, come again no more. 'Tis the sigh that is wafted above the troubled wave. 'Tis a wail that is heard upon the shore. 'Tis a dirge that is murmured about a lowly come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times, come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times, come again no more. Oh, hard times, come again no more.
Have you each got a leaf? If you don't, now's the time. There's really nothing going to be going on up here. The screen's going to be blank for a bit. If you're wearing a glove, take your glove off because you want to be able to feel the texture of the leaf in your fingertips. And just close your eyes and relax for a few minutes. We've done this little ritual annually. Leaves are right here. And this will be the same ritual again, but with a difference. So the screen will be blank. You'll just be hearing my voice. If your eyes are open, if you insist on keeping your eyes open and you don't trust us, that's okay. But you're going to miss the real show, which is going to be going on inside your head, which is a mix of memory and imagination. And so now I'd like you to think back, to remember. Think back to a time not long ago. 2 hours ago today. Where are you? Who are you with? Now that memory of a couple hours ago probably comes back pretty quickly, so I'll go a little further back. 2 weeks ago, at exactly this time. 2 weeks ago, exactly this time. Where are you? Are you here? Somewhere else? And who are you with? Now, 2 weeks ago might be a little more difficult to call clearly to mind, so we'll go back to a time that's maybe clearer in your imagination. Last New Year's Eve, 2019. Where are you? Are you inside or outside? Are you with people or alone? Can you remember what you thought 2020 would hold? And has it? Perhaps you can remember a little, but not everything, a about that New Year's Eve, last New Year's Eve, a few fragments. So now we'll go even further back. Let's go back in your memory to the first time you felt like kissing someone. Who was that? And did you? And now our journey takes us even further back. We're going back to your first day of school, whether it was preschool, a reception, a kindy, whatever you called it. First day of school, it's summer, and you're standing outside. Look around you. What can you see? Now look down to your feet. What are the shoes you're wearing? Now imagine looking up behind you to your right-hand side, and imagine holding up your hand. A hand clasps that one. It's your mother. Imagine looking up to your left. Another hand clasps that one. It's your father. Your mother, your father, and you on your very first day of school. Now, in your imagination, look behind your right-hand side, behind your mother. Are her parents, her mother, and her father, your grandparents? And to the left at your father's shoulder are his parents, his mother, his father. Six people now stand behind you, all looking at you. And now look back again, and behind your grandparents are their parents. Eight great-grandparents, four grandparents, your parents, and you. And now behind the eight of your great-grandparents are 16 others, and all of these looking at you. Now feel that leaf in your fingers. You'll feel it has several veins. Imagine that each vein is a line of your ancestry all coming down to you, the stalk. All of these veins leading to you. In 100 years, there are approximately four generations. If you look back along the line standing behind you, as you look back, at the beginning of the 19th century, standing in that line would be 254 of your ancestors, assuming that none of your family are interrelated. At the beginning of the 18th century, assuming none of your family are interrelated, there is a line of 4,096 different people. And at the beginning of the 17th century, over 65,000 different people. And at the beginning of the 16th century, if you continue the same calculation, 1 million different people. So, 1,000 years ago, if there really were no kinship ties between your family members, that line would have to be longer than all the people who've ever lived. Which, of course, is not possible, but it must mean that you must be related to everyone in this room. It must mean you must be related to everyone in Australia and in the world and to all the living and the dead. Now open your eyes and see your leaf again. That leaf meditation was adapted from a play called Mnemonic by Simon McBurney and Theatre de Complicité, and I use it by their kind permission. The music is by local musician Stuart Day. Why should nature offer like a zillion different varieties just of leaves? Why? A zillion different varieties just of leaves. And that's only one type of vegetation. Imagine your God. Imagine your God for a moment, and you want to create a lovely new planet. Go on. You want something to hold soil together. You want something to store the sun's energy and release oxygen. And you want something that's going to reproduce so you don't have to keep making stuff endlessly. Now, if you're God and you wanted to make a new green planet that wanted to do all these things, wouldn't it have just been simpler to roll out a big uniform carpet of green turf? Why so much diversity in nature? Why? And bear in mind, of all the different known forms of life, only 10% are still living today. Nature is kind of boundless, free. It just goes off on zillions of wild tangents, endlessly varying. This sheer creative exuberance in nature suggests that diversity exists for its own sake, is good in itself. No other reason seems evident. Why should human beings embody such diversity, then? Imagine you're God, and you want to be able to love something that, like you, has creativity and imagination. Why not just clone a uniform race of unchanging homogeneous beings who all looked and act and think and feel alike? As with the leaves and the vegetation, you build in diversity to this being. You build in freedom and a great scope of time and space to exercise that boundlessness in. Open your eyes. Superficial differences like race or ethnicity or behavior or even psychology mask the deeper truth that we are all deeply interrelated. In fact, since mitochondrial DNA is not passed on if females don't reproduce, and maybe you should talk to a biologist if you want more detail on this, but take it from me, I've looked it up. Since mitochondrial DNA is not passed on if females don't reproduce, we know for a fact that we are all descended from one single ancestral mother called mitochondrial Eve, who lived about 200,000 years ago in Africa. But my concern today is not just that we're all one race, one human race. It's more about how we, you and I, like the birds of Burma, think about and respond to our diversity, our human diversity. Like the leaves you hold in your hands, we are all very much the same again and again and again, but different. All humans share 99.9% of the same DNA. My DNA and yours only differ in about 3 to 4 million places, which is tiny in proportion of the total, but enough to make a lot of difference among us. And each within us has about 100 personal mutations. That is, stretches of genetic material that don't match either of my parents, but are mine alone, and that I may pass on, and which my children will carry like mine, but again, slightly tweaked and different. There's been 3 billion years of this evolutionary tweaking to produce the vast diversity of humanity from one common mother. In fact, the DNA you may pass on came from ancestors who, for most of geological time, weren't even really human. Lots more of them than humans were small and hairy and lived in burrows and trees. Some were fish. Everything that has ever happened has had to happen exactly as it did for any of us to be here now. And so this goes on forever, I guess. This mixing and matching, this tweaking, passing on the same again, same stuff again, but different slightly. No one will ever be exactly like anyone else has ever been, ever again, for eternity. Why should that be? Open your eyes. Hinduism, the world's oldest formal religion, understood all living forms to be different faces of the same great being, many masks of one big self, meaning that each of us is like a single spark thrown from a great fire. And as living things, we kind of, like the sparks, long for a return to that warmth of wholeness. But in our temporary isolation, we become captivated like the birds of Burma by our differences. And so any solidarity we might have had once breaks up and comes apart. We each end up seeking salvation for ourselves And so diversity can obscure the deeper oneness of all life that we are part of. And so our diversity can turn us against each other. Black against white, straight against gay, male against female, old against young, skeptic against believer. If you're someone who believes that there is a conscious intelligence at work in nature, and in our nature, a prolific creator endlessly creating, then the artist's signature is diversity, not sameness. Praise it. Why should all leaves, trees, birds, or people be alike? What would we want everyone to speak, say, the same language? Isn't it great that there's, you know, Turkish and Arabic and Spanish and English and French and so on? Would we want everybody to speak the same language? Would we want everyone to have the same sexual preferences? Would we want everybody to think or believe the same things? Would we want everybody to be the same religion?
Well, yes, as long as they're Unitarian.
No, no, no. We don't want a world like that. As my mother used to say, and she was a pretty sharp lady, if everybody in the world only wanted vanilla ice cream, it'd be a pretty dull world. But diversity is more than consumer choices among pleasures like ice cream. Diversity points to certain clear moral directions. Radical acceptance of one another in our differences. Inclusion of outcasts. Seeking out and embracing multiple points of view. And the imagination to see through surfaces to the inherent worth of every person, no matter how different they are from us. So in your daily moral living, do you resist conformity? Do you resist excluding those who don't fit in with your tribe? Do you treat people less than based on how they look, talk, behave, or their class or origins? Close your eyes again and look back along that imagined lineage. And if you don't close your eyes, here's a picture of it up on the screen. Think back along that imagined lineage, because at some time or other, you have been all those people. The good, the bad, the ugly, the insider and the outcast, the top dog and the underdog, the wild, the mild, the wonderful and the weird, the black and the white. Because everyone who's ever lived or ever will be is part of you. Open your eyes. And perhaps you'd pray this prayer with me. Shall we say it together? We come in a variety of colors, shapes, and sizes. Some of us grow in bunches. Some of us grow alone. Some of us turn inward. Some of us spread ourselves out wide. Some of us are old and dried and tougher than we look. Some of us are still in bud. Some of us grow low to the ground, and some of us stretch toward the sun. Some of us feel like weeds sometimes. Some of us carry seeds sometimes. Some of us are prickly sometimes, and all of us are precious. Amen. Well, now, if you have already made a donation today, thank you. If you have not made a donation, you can do so by using the tap cash point in the foyer. It's set up now on your way out if you have a card. Or you can put cash, if you want to deal with cash. I don't know who handles cash anymore, but you can put cash next to the chalice during coffee, during our catch-up time afterwards. But before we do that, remember that we're an independent, self-governed, not-for-profit church, so we need people to donate to us. We've survived and flourished only through the generous sacrifice of people like you. And whoever you are, whatever and however you give to this church, whatever you give is most welcome and much appreciated. So I'll leave you with this blessing now. We have a calling in this world. We are called to honor diversity. We are called to respect differences with dignity and to challenge those who would forbid it. Let us Unitarians be people of a wide path. Let us be wide in affection. And may we go our ways in peace. Amen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitariansa@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.